Welcome to Sports 1140
AHD. Good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and
drive. Attacking run of the mill morning show
with Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Katie Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist, I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
I am not driving no minivan.
I got it.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Uh-oh.
73 wins.
Uh-oh.
73 wins.
How bizarre would it be if two teams in the Spurs and the Warriors that had kind of historic regular seasons don't even make it to the finals.
So does that change everything? I mean, you had last time.
Yes, it's over.
I'm talking about like with the Patriots a few years ago. They went for undefeated, and then they ended up losing the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. Now the Warriors, they went for 73. But if they lose, obviously you can say the best regular season team of all time, but I feel like no one's – they wouldn't even be on par with that Bulls team that won 72. You didn't win a title. 73 wins. Okay, well, that's great.
Didn't even get there?
Hey, you didn't get to the finals? Well, who are you, guys? The Oklahoma City Thunder have won 4 of their last 5 games. That's pretty neat, especially the fact that it's in the playoffs and they're facing really good teams. Hey, by the way, Dave, Katie, Nate, The Drive.
Hi.
How you doing? 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Thanks so much for joining us. I find pretty crazy about last night is that the Thunder outscored the Warriors 61-42 in the second half. They have won 4 of 5. 3 of those 4 wins came in San Antonio, and now last night in Oakland. And Russ Westbrook and Kevin Durant went 17 of 51, and they still won the game. So I don't know if it's – I can absolutely see, and I still feel like the Thunder are going to have to win 2 at Oracle to win this series. I really do believe that the Warriors are going to win at least one game in Oklahoma City. Yeah. But it's very interesting how that came out last night. It looked like Oklahoma City just went into a different gear. And was it the Warriors? I'm having trouble analyzing, guys, so you help me. Did the Warriors – were they just flat? Did the Thunder shut them down? I don't know who to give credit and who to blame.
I give a lot of credit to Oklahoma City for establishing the fact that they were going to stick with their big lineup. You know,
yesterday.
It took them a little bit, but especially late in the game, Billy Donovan said, you know, a lot of times, you remember a couple of years ago, I want to say, now I forget who it was, but was it when the Mavericks maybe lost to the Warriors in the first round, the Mavericks were the higher seed, but they decided to go small ball.
Yeah.
They adjusted.
Right.
They were the better team, and they adjusted. And that was a bad sign, and they got knocked out. You know, the Thunder being the lower seed, for all intents and purposes, we're led to believe, hey, they're going to try to go small. You got to beat the lineup of death with a similar small lineup. Oklahoma City last night for the first time said, this is what we do. See if you can beat it. And
not
the Warriors couldn't do it. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Warriors adjust, because now you know you don't have to go small. At least Oklahoma City doesn't.
I don't know how much the Warriors have to adjust, though, because when you look at last night, the Thunder did multiple things that they normally struggle with. Turnovers were not a big issue for them. They did not really turn the ball over in the second half of the game. They had 12 turnovers for 17 points, which, by the way, that's a lot of points off 12 turnovers. That's telling you where they're coming from. But normally it's much worse for the Thunder. And the Warriors, too, are a turnover team, and that bit them last night. But I look at the fact that they got so much production from their bench to get them through those moments in the fourth quarter when Kevin Durant was just laying eggs all over the place. He was so bad in the fourth quarter. Now, granted, he hit a shot at the end of the fourth quarter, but he had gone 0-for-7 before that in the fourth. but they got production from their bench. And then you look at Golden State and nobody played well. Nobody played extremely well. So I tend to think like, okay, I don't know how much the Warriors have to adjust in this sense, other than the fact that you've got to expect that they're not going to have multiple people that just kind of have below average games for them.
Yeah, but who played bad for the Warriors?
26, 10, and 7 for the Warriors, for Curry, but he had 7 turnovers, which is 9 of 22 from the field. Klay Thompson, 11 of 25 from the field. Draymond Green, 9 of 20, which is completely respectable, but I'd almost rather see, rather than the 23 points on 20 shots from Draymond Green, he had 5 boards and 4 assists. I think the Warriors are at their best when Draymond Green scores, who gives a you-know-what, but he's sitting there with 9 boards, 11 assists, 11 boards, 9 assists, 4 blocks, 2. The Warriors at their best have Draymond Green, to me, doing who cares with the scoring, but he's stat filling. He's filling that sheet, and that really didn't seem to happen at a Draymond level last
night. So the point in that, I have to agree with you. Draymond had 4 assists, which is not really a good that led the team in assists during the regular season. Now, what happened to the Warriors last night is they got away from being the Warriors. They were playing isolation. They were not moving the ball. They were not really facilitating it through Draymond, which, you know, he does a lot of the facilitating in that offense. And then when you look at the three guys, I mean, Draymond took 20 shots, Klay took 25, Steph took 22. Yeah, you expect that. But at the same time, when you look at their bench production, they might have the best bench in the NBA. They did not get much out of their bench last night.
Then when you say the Warriors weren't themselves last night, someone agrees with you. And his name's Draymond Green. And I'm unmuted. Is it up in there, really? I'm completely unmuted. Okay.
I don't think we were ourselves offensively in the second half. And, you know, we got away from the ball movement, you know, and everything was pretty much ISO basketball, you know. So I think if, you know, we execute our game plan, you know, and play the way we play in the second half, then, you know, the same thing works out the way it did in the first half. But, you know, we were kind of scattered and all over the place in the second half. So I think, you know, that a lot of that goes on our shoulders.
And Jay said in our ears, Jay Johnson, our producer, he said in our ears while that clip was playing, the Warriors were 4-17 in the fourth. That's not going to happen again. And
why is that any different than Durant and
Westbrook? I was just going to say, and while I tend to agree with him, again, Westbrook and Durant were so bad from the field last night. Again, 17 of 51. So I'm sitting here saying, well, that's not going to happen again either. Maybe.
But the thing about the Warriors going 4-17 in the fourth quarter, it kind of gets back to what we were just talking about, in the sense that they got away from what makes them a good offensive team, which is they have so many great scorers on their team. But any NBA player, if you have a hand in your face, if you do not move the ball, if you do not get higher quality shots that have a higher percentage of, you know, in terms of how difficult they are, you can't expect the Warriors to just make difficult shots all the time. That they can't. There's maybe 2 guys on their roster that can make difficult shots at a high percentage. Everyone else, you need to move the ball and get good looks. And they stopped doing that in the fourth quarter.
So why don't we look at it this way then? Draymond Green took 20 points and the Warriors crapped the bed
or
20 shots. They crapped the bed in the fourth quarter. They stopped moving the ball because, you know, the Thunder threw something at them that they weren't expecting, which was sticking
defense
with a big lineup.
Yeah.
I think they shut them down defensively. The Warriors didn't have an answer.
Right.
When they were trying to breathe life back into themselves late in that game, one of their biggest buckets was, you know, Steph Curry hitting a crazy layup where he's, you know, he's getting stuffed.
Right.
It wasn't a foul. It was a great defensive play, but it was a great make
high off the
by
blast.
Steph. Yeah, that was insane. And if you're struggling for things like that, I mean, that the Thunder, to me, were playing great defense. Yeah. And if you forced Draymond Green to take 20 shots, the Thunder, like, that's got to be what they want.
Well, Draymond had a stretch where I think he scored 3 straight. And at least 2, if not all 3 of those were amazing shots. They were hand-in-the-face, great defense. Mm-hmm. And if that's going to happen, let me ask you guys this. And sometimes in stuff like this, I'm trying to get perspective. I'll step back. If you didn't know anything about the Warriors before today, yesterday, you didn't know anything about the Thunder. Warriors aren't the defending champions. They didn't win 73. You don't know what's going on. Didn't this game feel like the Thunder just bided their time, took control when they wanted to, and that they were the better team?
Yes.
If you didn't know their history.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, too. Mm-hmm. And what's scary, if you're a Warriors fan or you're a Warrior, is this Thunder team in the playoffs. And again, let's give Billy Donovan all ever since I started talking about his timeouts, I'm probably overstating it now because now I'm obsessed with his timeouts.
Yes, you are.
But there were a couple different times during the game again yesterday where the Warriors would get on their little warrior-y run. And you know, it can be a 5-point game and you blink and it's a 17-point game. And he had no problems. Boom, timeout. Give my guys a breather and get you emotionally reconnected to the game and not frustrated. Let Russell Westbrook blow off steam.
It's not even just about that. It's about his use of timeouts in the sense of stopping momentum. And even if it's just to stop the action, right?
That's what I'm saying.
It takes the Warriors out of their...
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's putting a little something in everybody's head, and he's stopping the flow, which I think is amazing.
Game management is
absolutely
really important, and he's done a really good job in the playoffs of doing that. But I like to go back to what Nate was talking about in terms of, okay, well, the Warriors, you know, you don't expect them to go 4-17. That won't happen again in the fourth quarter. The Thunder did such a good job defensively, and where we talk about how they offensively can derail themselves in the fourth quarter, at least their defense really is what won them this game last night. They held the Warriors to 1 of 10 from beyond the arc in the fourth quarter alone, and that's a big deal. That is a really, if you're going to beat the Warriors, you have to be able to defend the three-point line with consistency and at a high rate, and they did that. They did a really good job, but then something else happened that, oh gosh, I don't know if it'll ever happen again. Steven Adams had a phenomenal game for them. And I'm talking about at the free throw line. You don't expect that. He did a great job when the game was on the line, fourth quarter. There's a lot of pressure of stepping up to the free throw line and knocking down shots. And that goes back to why they were able to leave their big men in there.
You know, it's funny about Steven Adams, too, because I was saying the same thing. Steven Adams seemed like he was insanely clutch at the free throw line. What's funny is he shot like 65% from the free throw line last night, but it's 55% for the season. And much like Shaquille O'Neal used to do and piss me off all the time, it just seems like he
makes them. Fourth quarter.
He was 6 of 9, though. That's the fact that he got to the line 9 times and was able. If you knock, you'll take 6 of 9 from a big guy.
Well, Steven Adams had a great night last night, including from the free throw line. Unfortunately, nobody's talking about Steven Adams' stats last night. We'll tell you why and what he said after the game when we get back and whether or not there should be a controversy about this. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. We the boys. We making noise. We are dem boys, except Katie. We dem boys and girl. That's The Drive.
We are making noise, though.
Hey, by the way, finally figured out yesterday, there's a story we'll get to later. It was a Biggie song that I always wondered what the hell that he was talking about. Dan Levitard did a great job finding out the answer to that, talking to Fat Joe. Said, you know, you sometimes songs will come out and guys are talking about something, who this guy, whatever. You don't know. You don't know. Like, who is that? There was a song
kind of like Becky with the good hair.
Yeah,
that's
who's
a mystery.
Becky? Biggie had a song back in the day called "I Got a Story to Tell," and he was talking.
I got a story to
he was
tell.
Talking about visiting with a young lady.
Visiting
with probably not wearing much, and they
it was like they were going to a mattress store, right?
Exactly, but in her room, and they were canoodling.
You are a 40-year-old man.
And he well, no, there might be kids listening.
They were in cahoots with one another.
And he mentioned that it was a New York Knick. And so, that gets you kind of your interest peaked. Mm. And we play the song, but you can only play every fifth word probably. and it turns out that the mystery's finally been solved because he talked about, hey, I'm with this young lady and we're doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, her man comes home, and I didn't know what to do, but I had my gun, and
that's always the answer.
I didn't want to shoot him, so as he's coming up the stairs, she said, "Hey, go get me a drink." So he goes back downstairs to buy him some time to get a drink, and all of a sudden, Biggie, Notorious B.I.G., has this idea. He puts a scarf over his face, and he pretends like he's. And then when the guy walks in, he's pointing the gun at the guy, making it look like he's a robber that was there breaking in and trying to rob the house.
He was breaking into something.
Yes, he was. But
unlawful
not,
entry.
But he wasn't trying to the only thing he was trying to shoplift was the pootie, to make a reference yesterday.
The pootie.
You know, I listened, I read the lyrics,
uh-huh.
And I did not get any of that.
Here's
so I'm
the
glad
instrumental.
You explained it.
Nah, so he...
I basically caught that he was with a dude's girl and
right.
there was a gun involved, but I could not make out
Didn't
the rest of it.
Didn't want to shoot the guy, so he
You
comes,
got the canoodling part, right?
The canoodling.
Yeah. Okay.
So
yeah,
he comes up with this master plan. It's like, I'm going to make it look like a robbery. So the guy walks in. He's a New York Knick. He's a large individual, obviously. And all of a sudden, the dude drops the drink he brought for his girl that Biggie was with, opens up a floorboard, I think is what it was, and pulls out like $100,000. And Biggie takes the cash and leaves and takes off.
Yeah.
So not only did he get the guy's girl, but he got $100,000 in cash.
He got a story to tell and a deposit to make.
So we've always wondered,
well, what I did there.
Who was the New York Knick that he was referring to? And it turns out... And I want to be careful here to not sound disrespectful. The late, great Anthony Mason was the New York Knick he was speaking about. It was Anthony Mason's girl after all these years. And Fat Joe said that.
I thought you literally just teased that we would talk about it later, and then you just continued
yeah,
to tell
but
the
then
whole
we,
story.
Yeah, you know, but then the music was.
Yeah.
You, know, you got the
he got
music
caught
going.
Up. Got caught up.
Anthony Mason had the best free throw form, I think, ever. I'm trying to get about right, but he would go like one hand, and he would take, because he was a lefty, right?
Sure.
And so he would have his right hand
and
would like be pointed
right.
at the rim, and he would kind of,
it was almost
weird.
Like he was testing the wind.
Yeah.
See?
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
He did not follow the beef premise that they teach us in camp. Remember beef?
Beef, yeah.
Ball.
Those balance, eyes, elbows, follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beef.
We used to... Okay.
I didn't make it up.
No, I know. I didn't.
Yeah. No, he's. Yeah.
He's what?
Beef. Yeah.
Actually, I used to, when I used to go every summer to Nate, I used to go to the camp up in Weed, California,
College
of the Siskiyous.
Yeah.
Joe Bel Castro, who was the varsity coach down here at Mariloma, his son Brian and I and a bunch of us would go up there. It's a week-long camp.
Look at you, name-drop.
Pretty up there.
Name-drop Joe Bel Castro.
It's a big name.
Look out. That was a fine camp.
It's a great campus. When I was there, listen to this, you want to hear about psycho basketball coaches. When I was there, the men's coach was like straight out of the Paul Westhead camp.
Oh, wow.
And so he would, you know, I would be up there for the summer, and my roommates were basketball players. And they go, you know, come work out with us. You could, you know, I was like, yeah, that sounds great way to stay
they
in shape.
They were thinking at that time that you hadn't hit your growth spurt, but you already had on.
Hey, you stop that for a second. I have shrunk since then.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I show up. This dude, I'm not kidding you. There's four of us, okay? Three of us, including the coach.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's such a nut. We play 2-on-2 full court for an hour.
Of course, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. That's
normal for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
younger.
I played
not
for
now.
On a full size college court with grown ass men.
No,
we're playing 2-on-2 yeah. full
no,
court.
No,
for
no,
no.
Okay. I didn't hear the full court.
Yeah,
that's weird.
I played for Paul Westhead. So, yes.
So,
that's normal. Yeah, that's normal.
Ding.
Name dropper Jones over here. I get crap for dropping Joe Bel Castro. She's dropping Paul Westhead.
She's the one that mentioned it. Jeez. So,
yeah.
I said, yes, I do understand because of this reason.
No.
I didn't walk in here with my list of names being like, gonna get this one, gonna get this one.
Hey,
yeah.
Speaking of
dropping
names.
That.
I did tease this before we went to break. Steven Adams had a great game yesterday. After the game, he was talking to Chris Broussard, and there was a little mini kerfuffle after the game last night because of the comments that he made to Chris Broussard. Are you breaking me, Katie? Is
yeah,
that what's
I'm
going
like,
on?
Let's,
I was gonna pop it before, but Katie's actually now become the producer of the show.
Feeling it.
Katie's doing the break
you know
time
what?
Thing.
It's so funny because I actually heard Jay say 1 minute, and then you're like, oh, I've got
to.
Yeah,
it's a 16-second clip.
So,
that's
no,
fine. All
but
right,
it's
well,
something that
you know
we
what?
Are going to have some comments on.
Because of Katie,
yes.
You don't have to wait through the break. I was going to play it. Now you
rude.
Have to wait.
Sometimes
listen
I'm shocked.
To all these sponsors. And then figure
nice,
out what we're going to say when we get back. It's fantastic.
Sometimes I wonder, like, God, the power of the ovaries. It just makes me so bossy.
Yeah, a little.
Like, sometimes I'm really
that.
Bossy.
Yeah. Captain Astro,
I mean,
fighting for justice.
Get a cup of coffee.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the drive. It's on Sports 1140 KHDK. You asked me before the break. By the way, 6:47, time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, visit Gamboas.com for a free online estimate. Do that, please. You asked me before the break, what is a gaucho?
Yeah, and then you went and looked it up on your phone.
I did not. I swear to God, I didn't. I swear on my kids, I did not look it up on my phone or anywhere else. A gaucho, as everybody knows, gaucho is an after-dinner drink served in some restaurants in the Southern Hemisphere.
That kind of goes well with Santa Barbara when you think about it, right?
I'll use it in a sentence. After a nice meal with my wife, she and I retired to the fireplace and had ourselves a couple of gauchos.
Except for a gaucho is an Argentinian cowboy. So
you're looking for the alternate version.
Yeah. Did you have yourself a couple of gauchos?
either way, how you doing?
They're really filling, I've found.
Really filling.
I just want to marinate that.
I just
there.
Wanted that to sip.
From the 916, ole, 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 gauchos, gauchos.
Yes, that's right.
Did I say that right? Of course, Katie wouldn't have seen that person. She's 6'10".
You're right. I am.
That's the one. Can we get through any segments without a story about Katie's damn dogs? No.
Probably not.
No, it's never, ever
going
to happen. No.
Yeah. Eye level with
no.
Them?
You know what? That's all I've got left. I don't have kids. I'm not married. Come on now.
I know,
let me hang
right?
on to the fact that I've got dogs.
Just look at it like this. If she's
I'm trying to find the joy in life, damn it.
She's talking about her dogs. I'm not talking about my wife. And that's a good thing for everyone. Let's see here. So we talked about so far. We talked about last night's game a little bit. We talked about Steven Adams and all kinds of Steven Adams-y type of stuff. And now we move into the poll question, which is so far about 60-65% of everybody saying, Matt, that game didn't really change my mind. I still think the Warriors are going to win. I will say this. You brought up the Thunder and Spurs. Now, Thunder got destroyed in San Antonio in game one, came back and took game two. I would say the difference there is that the Thunder have dispatched the Spurs, who were just behind the Warriors for best team in the NBA and lost only one time at home. And now
during the regular season.
True.
Yeah.
And now they've won four or five. Two of those in San Antonio, one of those. So three of the four wins in San Antonio or Golden State. And unlike San Antonio destroying Oklahoma City at home in game one, Oklahoma City beat Golden State on the road in game one. So I think that's a little bit different. Home court advantage has been swiped from Golden State. It belongs to Oklahoma City now, and that was not the case in the Spurs series. Does that make a difference to you at all? If let me ask you, I'm rambling, but Katie, if you don't think the Warriors are going to lose the series, are you a little closer to thinking the Warriors are going to lose the series after last night's game?
No, because if they had beat the Warriors last night, and I felt that the Warriors had played a top-level game. I don't feel that they played their top-level game yesterday. And I understand that many people are going to say, well, why can't you give credit to the Thunder for making them not play their top-level game? Because I haven't seen them do that yet. It's one game. The Warriors did not play up to their potential. I'm not willing yet to say that it was just because the Thunder's defense was so good. I need to see that for another game. Maybe two to be like, okay, they're in trouble now.
But Nate, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. When you look at what Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant shot from the field last night, which was what, 17-21 or some crazy garbage like that, wouldn't the counter to that be
17-51?
What did I say, 21? Jesus,
yeah.
17-51. So Nate, would you counter what Katie said by saying, well, yeah, the Golden State didn't play to the top of their game, but Durant Westbrook went 17-51.
Yeah, because when that happened against San Antonio in game one, they got the tar beaten out of them. So, I mean, I those things balance out. I still have it as a six-game series. I'm surprised that Oklahoma City got the win in game one, but my prediction is still going to be the same as yesterday. I see them alternating games through the first four. Golden State wins game five. And I think that that's kind of the backbreaker for Oklahoma City. I think they got it at two apiece. They swap. Golden State gets a backbreaker in game five and then finishes it off in game six.
I honest to God think that, and I know this is sacrilege to say, I'm trying to think, so help me out. I'm trying to go back to Western Conference Finals. And I'm going back all the way to 2002. Like, I don't want to overstate it after game one, but I think this could be the best Western Conference Finals we've had
since
Lakers-Kings 2002. I really do. And somebody help me out, maybe, because I'm not looking at
a
list.
Well, just based on the fact that 73-win team loses the first game of the series at home.
Sure.
Boom. And it's an exciting game. That's it. You got drama in a can. It's already there.
And you had drama with these two teams. The best game of the regular season was Thunder and Golden State with the Steph Curry crazy shot from Fremont. You know, and now you fast forward till now. I don't like making crazy predictions after one game in anything, but this isn't really game one. This is game four, game five between the two of these guys going back to the regular season. And what's scary to me, again, if I'm a Warriors guy, is it's almost like you're watching Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and that team learn on their own. I honestly came away from last night feeling that the Warriors certainly did not play up to their potential. But I looked at it and I said, there's no way the Thunder played up to their potential. Kevin Durant missed 27 shots in like 1 minute in the fourth quarter.
The Thunder are becoming a sentient being.
10 of 30.
What'd you say, Nate?
I said they're like, as a team, they're becoming a sentient being, right? Like
they're growing.
They've been this kind of half-assed monster that can that can do all these things, but it's all just kind of coming together before our eyes. That's beating the Spurs was a huge confidence boost for them, and now you get a win with those guys playing badly, and to do it with their lineup. They dictated the terms of the battle last night. That's the most important part to me, because everything you're saying, I agree with, Katie. The Warriors didn't play great. You don't want to jump too quick to conclusions on the Thunder defense, whatever it might be.
Oklahoma City didn't play their best game either. I realize that.
But. So all of those things are there. My sticking point is the fact that Oklahoma City dictated the terms of battle last night. How's Golden State going to respond to that? This is maybe the first time that's been done this season.
I think the scariest thing for the Warriors right now is the fact that because they're facing a Thunder team that has gained so much confidence as the course of the playoffs has, you know, gone on, and now they're in the Western Conference Finals. This is a team that played Golden State really closely during the regular season. And when you look at who their people are, when you look at KD and Russell Westbrook, I think they're probably two of the best players in the league at regardless of what their stat line is. Their confidence and swag is through the roof.
Speaking of Russell Westbrook.
A loss does not take them down. It doesn't knock their confidence.
Not anymore.
Yes. It gives.
Whereas it used
to. It's giving them momentum, actually. That's the difference, I think, in the playoffs for them.
Well, you talked about not playing up to the Warriors' potential and where they're at. Russell Westbrook had comments last night about the Thunder and their potential.
Got to compete, man. It's going to be a tough game. It's a tough building. They have a lot of great players on their team, but I know we're a great team, and when we put our mind to it, and tonight we didn't even play our best game, and we came out with a win.
So both sides.
Yeah, no, and it's true. And when you say that they didn't play their best game, here's the difference for the two teams to me. I don't feel that anyone on the Warriors played very well at all. I think several people on the Thunder played well. I don't think that Westbrook and KD, when you look at their efficiency, were very good. But they had other people that stepped up. So if the other people like Deion Waiters and these guys and Serge Ibaka, if they can continue to contribute and step up offensively, and then you add in Westbrook and KD having a good game, they're going to be extremely dangerous right now.
One thing to note as well, Westbrook and Durant combined played 86 minutes. So there's some minutes logged in that game one. To be fair, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson all played 40 minutes. Before we hit the break, before the show, Nate kind of tickled our ears a little bit with one of his musings.
He did.
Which was the following. If you had to take one player out of the big four, that's Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, if you had to take one player out of those four, who would it be? And what duo out of those four would you take as well? And we've been kind of mulling it over.
Yeah.
I said, spoiler alert, mine's not going to be Klay Thompson. But then we get into an argument.
Yeah, we all said that.
Steven, we see you on the phone at 339-1140, 1-800-912-1140. Text always welcome at 40 at 44-1140 as well. We will take a break. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.